Amen. Thank you, Brother Mike, for that and good singing and welcome to our His Design class this morning. They say when you eat turkey on Thanksgiving, and how many of you ate turkey in the last couple of days? There's a hormone or something in there, tryptophan, and it just makes you sleepy. I don't know what it is. It just kind of puts you in like a coma, and so you're still kind of coming out of that this morning and trying to get your breath and recover from all of the overdose of food or pumpkin pie or whatever it's been the last couple of days. And then some of you braved the Black Friday sales and got out there amongst the best of the best and saved that $5 and whatever it was. So trust that went well and was worth your time. But I do pray you've enjoyed a wonderful Thanksgiving, a good time with family, and did take time just to thank the Lord for His many blessings on your life. It's good to be together this morning, and I've been looking forward to our time together in our class, and it's good to see so many of you here, and some that are visiting back just the first time last week, and others getting settled in. We've got several out of town today, which we knew. We got some with some illness and such, but we miss them, and we're delighted you're here. And looking forward to our time together in God's Word. Real quickly, I want to make mention of the fact that Brother Roberto Perez, and Roberto, where are you at? Right here. And just completed discipleship. And let's congratulate him on that accomplishment. Roberto, congratulations to you. And Brother Andrew Whippler, disciple Brother Roberto, and Brother Roberto recently finished. I don't know if it was just this last week or week before, but congratulations on that. We have 18 people from our class right now being discipled, and it's a thrill. This week we had it on Tuesday night, but it was a joy on both floors to just see folks from our class opening God's Word and learning and growing, and so we're thankful for that. And Roberto, congratulations on finishing, and many drawing close to that accomplishment, so we thank the Lord for that. Take your Bibles, 1 Timothy chapter number 6, 1 Timothy and chapter number 6 together this morning. And we are in our series entitled Marriage Myths. And this morning we're going to talk about the material possessions myth. This is such a perfectly timed lesson with this weekend and what is on the horizon. So I hope and pray this liberates you as moms and dads to have a little bit of reserve maybe in the pressure of spending and such. And I do hope and pray this will be a blessing and a help to us this morning as we study the material possessions myth, which is that more money or possessions will make our home happier. If we just had more, we would be so much happier in our life. A young banker was driving his brand new BMW, and he was up in the mountains, and it began to snow. And as he rounded a turn, his vehicle slid out of control and towards a cliff. And when he recognized that there was nothing he was going to be able to do to stop from what was going to happen, he unbuckled his seatbelt, he opened the door, and he jumped from the car to save his life. And though he did escape with his life, his left arm got caught near where the hinge of the door was, and as the car began to make its way over the cliff, he literally lost his arm. It was severed at his shoulder. A trucker was passing by and witnessed the tragic accident and stopped his rig and ran over to the young man to see if he could be of any help. And there, standing there, that young banker in a state of shock was looking over the cliff, and he was saying these words. He was saying, "Oh no, my BMW, my BMW." And the truck driver looked at the young man and said, "Sir, you've got bigger problems than that car. Look at your side." And the young banker looked at his shoulder, finally realizing that he had lost his arm in this tragic accident, said, "Oh no, my new Rolex, my new Rolex." And, you know, sometimes we are a bit more attached to the things of this world than we should be. And if there's an area that plagues a lot of homes, it's financial trouble. And as you come into this season of the gift shopping and the hint suggesting and all the stuff happening in our culture and society today, there's just a pressure that can come with that I hope and pray today that we'll see through, yes, expressing love and yes, purchasing gifts, but let's not forget what Christmas is. It's the celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ. Amen. And so if we're getting something for anyone, it should be for Him. Now, if we want to use that season to express love to family members, and many of us do, then that's wonderful. But let's not do it to a point where kids hate us and we hate them. We want to get a divorce and nobody wants to pay any bills in January. And that's where a lot of homes end up by the time Christmas is over. And we want to learn some things today that will be helping a blessing to us. Now, why do we believe this? Not only are we spiritual beings living in a spiritual world, but we're also physical creatures living in a physical world. Advertisers, uninterested in the spiritual dimension, lure us into living beyond our means in order to satisfy our earthly desires, only to find ourselves still wanting more. Listen, if we're going to live a life where we just want to kind of meet our desires and then we'll be there, you're never going to get there. If we're trying to keep up with the Joneses, somebody's always got it better. Somebody's always got it bigger. Somebody's always got it newer. Somebody's always got it faster. Whatever it is, whatever category, somebody always has something better than we do. Now, what does the Bible say about this? Well, 1 Timothy, where you are, chapter 6, and let's look together at verse number 6. The Bible says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they which will be rich shall fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." God challenges you and I from His Word that we are to have contentment. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Having food and raiment, therewith be content. If you've got something to eat, and I know you do because we just had it out in the hallway, and if you've got clothes on, be content. Your needs are met. The love of money is the root of all evil. Not money. Sometimes people say, money is the root of all evil. Anybody that has money, they're evil. No, that's not necessarily true. But the love of money, the pursuit of money in and of itself as an end goal, God says be very careful of that. Larry Burkett said, of the couples who end up getting a divorce, every survey shows between 85 and 90% of them say the number one problem they were having was finances. Finances is a huge problem for many families, and it's because of the culture and society we live in. We do not live in a culture and society that says be content, be thankful, save, 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 and then buy what only you can purchase in cash. Slightly used is okay. We don't live in a society that says any of those things. We live in a culture and a society that says you never have enough, you never have the best, latest, greatest, whatever. There's always something else you got to press toward. And by the time you get it, boy, it's outdated and you got to be working towards the next thing. And what kind of a parent are you if your kids don't have A, B, and C? And you must not love so-and-so if you don't do, you know, whatever. That's the society and the culture we live in. Now, I think we ought to express love and I think we ought to do good to people that we can. The Bible says, withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. If it's Junior's birthday and you can do something for Junior, great. But if you can't take him to Disneyland, don't worry about it. There's an undue pressure in our culture and society today to, it's always got to be bigger, it's always got to be better, it's always got to be this, it's always got to be that. But the behind the scenes that you don't see in that pressure of society and culture is all the bills, all the finance charges, all the interest, and all the stress that comes with that behind closed doors for a mom and a dad. And that's what we're going to try to kind of really look at today and expose and say, how can we have a strong marriage and work through some of these pressures when it comes to finances and having more? So let's dive in. Number one, and this is a great lesson. It really doesn't matter what you teach the Sunday after Thanksgiving. Everybody's going to be tired anyway. So we're going to have some fun. All right, here we go. Number one, why money and possessions do not satisfy. Why money and possessions do not satisfy. Dennis Rainey said, deep down, we all know that a money shortage usually is not the real issue. We need the knowledge and discipline to use wisely the money we already have. Why money and possessions do not satisfy. If money and possessions did satisfy, then the richest people would be the happiest. That isn't the case. A lot of people that have a lot of earthly things are miserable. And a lot of people who don't have a lot of things according to this world have wonderful joy and contentment and satisfaction in their lives. And it's a beautiful thing in which to behold. And so why money and possession not satisfy? A couple of thoughts. Letter A, because of buyer's remorse. Because of buyer's remorse. Have you ever purchased something and then the next day thought about what you just bought, how much it cost you, and how very little you're really going to use it, and began to have a little bit of remorse? The Bible says in Proverbs 15, 16, better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Proverbs 10, 22, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. There's a trap of impulsiveness today. I'm a big believer in, if this is what I need, I'm going to go to the place that carries it, get what I need, and leave. I don't struggle with going into that place and then seeing all the displays at the end of the aisles of all the stuff that now I'm discovering I need. Listen, if I didn't even know it existed 3 minutes ago, how do I need it? But we live in a world, a culture and society that it's impulsive. It's on a commercial or it's advertised or it's the latest and greatest and you've got to have it. And there's that trap and we fall into it and we purchase or we buy or we sign up or we do whatever. And then it leads to some buyer's remorse. The Bible says in Proverbs 21:5, the thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness. But if everyone that is hasty only to want. Be careful to be hasty in your spending. The old adage was, is your money burning a hole in your pocket? Make sure your money is not burning a hole in your pocket. In other words, don't be hasty to spend. I have said and have been taught, if you work hard for your money, spend it hard. Every dollar I work hard for, I want to spend hard. I don't want to spend frivolously. I don't want to, oh, we got to get this and we got to get it right now. Like there's a fire coming or something, you know? And that's what culture and society would have us to think. Boy, you've got to get this and you've got to get it now, or you're missing out on this one thing or whatever, you know? And being careful, buyer's remorse, the trap of impulsiveness. And by the way, you may, you know, my wife always tells me, honey, if I had more money, I could have saved you more money. You know, I recognize there's maybe good sales or something, you know, that you can take advantage of from time to time. But be careful of impulsiveness or be careful of buyer's remorse. And my wife is a very, very frugal shopper, for which indeed I'm thankful. Let it be. Because of the temporary nature of things. Money and possessions don't satisfy because of the very temporary nature of things. The Bible says in Proverbs 23, wilt thou set thine eye upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. That thing that we just had to have last year, we don't even know where it is. That thing that we could not live without 2 years ago is in a box in the attic or the garage now. You know, there's a temporary nature of things. And I'm not saying that things are bad. We all have things in our life. But let's leave them in the proper place. They're temporary. They're not the highest priority. They're not the end game. They're not what we're living for. They're temporary in nature. And we want to be careful to get so caught up in that, that it's putting pressure on things that far exceed their value. The Bible says in Matthew 6, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal, but lay it for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, nor where thieves do not break through nor steal. We want to make sure that we're living with eternity in mind. We want to make sure that we're investing our money and things are going to outlast you and I. I've heard it said, do your giving while you are living so you know where it's going. And you want to make sure that you're using your money with those types of thoughts in mind. Don't invest it all in the temporal, the here and now. Invest in the things that are eternal and of the Lord. Why else do we see this? Let us see. Because we are more than physical. We were designed for eternity. Earthly possessions are not going to satisfy because that's not who we are. We're not just a created being that will thrive if we have this possession or this latest outfit or whatever. We are more than that. We are created in the image of God, designed for eternity. The Bible says in Haggai 1:6, ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Have you ever felt that way? man, we're just one step ahead of the avalanche. We're running paycheck to paycheck. We put it in the bank account and it just goes and we can't find out where it goes. Have you ever felt that way? And sometimes that's the way we feel when potentially there's too much of the acquiring of things in our life. There's too much on the here and now, too much on the temporal. The Bible reminds us in 1 Timothy 6, 7, for we brought nothing into this world and it is certain we can carry nothing out. We're not taking anything with us. We know we've never seen a hearse with a U-Haul. All of this will burn. None of it's going to last for an eternity. And again, I'm not saying that maybe some things the Lord might bless you with might be there in your life, but we want to be careful to not put such a priority on that that there's undue stress and pressure in your marriage or in your home. J. Paul Getty was worth more than $4 billion when he died. Yet Getty, who married five times, reportedly at the end of his life, lamented that the only people he ever envied were those who were leading successful marriages. A multi-billionaire, but said, if I would give it all if I could just have one marriage that worked after five marriages. Then why, letter D? Because there will always be someone with more. There will always be someone with more. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with someone that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. I like this quote. We spend money we do not have on things we do not need to impress people we do not like. And I don't know why we do it, but we do it. And it's good to be reminded. Listen, there's no permanent satisfaction in money or material possession things. They have their place, sure, but we need to make sure they're in the right place in the sense of the priorities of our life. And we want to make sure there's none undue pressure and stress there. Then secondly, how can we overcome this marriage myth? Secondly, let's look at why couples experience trouble when it comes to money. If a husband and wife get married and say, we commit, we're never going to argue about money. Most all the time, they'll keep that commitment. Finances is something that comes up in the marriage relationship, and it can be a point of tension or strife. And why is that? Well, let's look at it. Letter A, because culture creates problems for couples. Culture is constantly sending the message that we need more, we need something else, we need something newer, bigger, or better. But the Bible says in Colossians 3:2, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. A couple of quotes. He who dies with the most toys still dies. The lottery is a tax on people who are bad at math. We're not even going to get into a lot of the lottery and gambling and such as that nature in this lesson, but the Bible has much to say on that subject. And we want to make sure that we're doing things that are of a biblical principle and have some moral scruples associated to them. The Bible challenges us to work. If a man will not work, neither shall he eat. We are to work, and we're not going to get our needs met, or we're not going to get rich by doing some kind of a scheme or some kind of, we're going to hit it big and this and that and the other. Listen, there's a reason why there's a lot of money to be given out at the lottery. And it's not because somebody just found some. It's because a lot of people are paying into it. They never get anything out of it. And they're just continually to pay money into it. Well, what could we do if we took all that money and put it in to supporting our families or the work of the Lord or whatever the case may be? And so we want to make sure that we're being wise with our finances. We live in a culture that worships material things. Every day we are bombarded by advertising and other messengers that shout, you are what you own. The media also tells us that we have is definitely not enough and we should aspire to bigger and better things. Dennis Rainey said that, and we're under that pressure of that message all the time now. And so we want to be reminded that there is a cultural pressure that we can choose or choose not to be under. And many of us just need to make the decision, listen, we don't need all of that. We don't need that now. God told us what we need, and we already have it, and we need to be thankful for it. Then letter B, credit creates problems. So culture creates problems with all of the things that we have to have and such, but then credit creates problems. Listen, it's a scheme when we believe that we can have something now for nothing, unless it's a gift, all right? If it's a gift, well, praise God for it. If it's not a gift, somebody's getting their money at some point in time down the road, And a lot of things in our culture today are like, oh, get it now, sign up, and, you know, there's no money down or whatever. And it's just, boy, brother Rule, it was too good of a deal to pass up. Okay, but study the end of a thing. How much interest? How many payments? Did you sit down and calculate how much in the end you'll pay for whatever that was? Was it worth it? What that will do to your bottom line and your budget moving forward for the next however many months you're involved in that? Is that, and by the way, it might be the perfect allocation of your funds, and it might meet a need that you have, and praise God for it. But just study that stuff out. Is this something we have to have? Is it a need? Is it something that we need to fulfill? Because credit can create great problems for couples. Credit cards. This little thing right here has ended a lot of relationships. I have sat down in family counseling with people that had $10,000, $20,000, $40,000 in credit card debt. And it was, boy, we had six or eight cards, and this got racked up, and this, and this, and this, and this, and now they don't have any place to go. And in our culture, we just tell them, well, file bankruptcy and start over. Which is to say, let all the hardworking people pay your debt while you go do it again. That's the biblical view of that. Because if it's our debt, it's our responsibility to pay the debt. By the way, the people that I've seen work their way out of debt are far less likely to get back into debt. Because they know the effort it takes to get out of debt. And they begin to understand, wow, this is a lot of work. And my resources are limited. And I need to be frugal. And I need to be disciplined. And I need to learn the magic word when it comes to finances. No. I love that word. I love it. My wife and I were in the mall on Friday, and we walked out and we bought nothing. It just felt great. I mean, it was just, it was liberating, you know? And we had some family in town, and we were out of town, and there was some things some folks wanted to see. And Brother Jose, I was even in a store where I almost had to buy something. And then the wait to buy it was, I forget how long. And that got me out of it. And it was like, man, praise the Lord, you know. And but you got to be careful. And credit can cause great problems for couples. By the way, really study your credit and such. If you're going to use credit cards, and I've got one in my pocket, we do use one. There's a reason we use it. And I'm not bragging, but I'll just tell you, I've never paid a late fee. I've never paid interest. And I've never carried a balance. So I've had a credit card, I think, for 15 years, something in that range, and that's just been our practice. Never paid a late fee, never carried a balance, never paid interest. Never. Why? Because our discipline has been, we're going to use them for the benefit we can get, whether it's miles or this or that or the other. We're not going to use them as if we just have all this money that we didn't have. So if we don't have money in the bank to pay the bill when we get it at the end of the month, then we're not buying it. This isn't something to give us money we don't have. This is something to give us a purpose in which maybe we can do some things on vacation we couldn't otherwise do. So be careful with credit. The Bible says in Proverbs 13:4, the soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. 2 Thessalonians 3:10, for even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. Dave Ramsey said, one definition of maturity is learning to delay pleasure. Children do what feels good. Adults devise a plan and follow it. Listen, if we always just got everything we wanted, we're never going to keep up with the bills as they come in. We have to make sure we're developing some plans financially in our lives. Let us see. Competing interests create troubles for couples. And so you've got culture and the demand of what we need. You've got credit and the hole that can put us in. And then sometimes you have competing interests. He really wants this. She really wants that. She really wants this. He sees it going a different way. And the Bible says in Amos 3:3, can two walk together except they be agreed? And we want to be careful that our interests are in the same way. Husbands and wives, you want to make sure that a big purchase is not made until you both agree. Well, she'll never agree and I'll never get it. Well, maybe you don't need it. I don't know. Well, he'll never sign off on that. Well, just listen to me. You keep making big purchases and the other person's like, I wouldn't have done that. What are you doing? This is adding. I'm just telling you, you're headed the wrong direction. You're headed for problems. Because those bills are going to come in, and when they come in, it's going to be, this was your doing, and this was your purchase, and look at what this did to us, and now we can't do Christmas like we want because of this debt, and it's going to get nasty. And there's going to be finger pointing, and there's going to be all kinds of stuff going on because there wasn't unity going into it. Honey, what do you think? Should we do it? If there's not agreement, don't. Whatever it is, it's not worth the strife it can bring to your marital relationship. If you want more of what we talked about last week, do less of buying stuff without unity. And I don't know what the material possession is, but it's not worth it. You need unity. And when there's competing desires and competing interests and such, there is a real struggle in the relationship. And even the priority of where money should be spent. And just make sure there's some unity there. We're going to talk about that here in a little bit. Letter D, a lack of contentment creates problems. In Hebrews, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. It's been said contentment is not about having what we want, but wanting what we already have. Bro, what kind of car do you want? A Kia Optima. That's what I want. That's what I have. That's what I want. And I'm going to have it for a long time, so that's what I want for a long time. What kind of this do you want? Whatever I have, that's what I want. And I'm content. It's great. It's wonderful. And God's been so good to me and to you as well. Winston Churchill said, I am easily satisfied with the very best. By the way, the very best is not the most expensive. The very best is what God has for you. And what God has for you, be satisfied therewith. Ed Young Jr. said, learn the secret of admiring without desiring. Somebody told me yesterday, hey, we're putting a bid in on the house and pray we get it. I pray they get it. And I'm not leaving that conversation thinking, man, they're getting a new house. We got to get a new house, you know. Or somebody pulls in, they got a new car. Man, praise God. Man, that's wonderful. Glad you got it, you know. We got to go get one now. No. Hey, we can learn to cheer one another on. Man, God bless them. Praise God. Hey, they got something wonderful. And by the way, that may have all been done in good due diligence, and it's a blessing to the family. It might just look like the grass is greener, but you don't see the water bill. And sometimes with some people, it's always something. They've got something to show. You just don't see the back end of it. I don't want the back end of it. I don't want all that. I want life simple. I want as few bills as I can possibly have. I don't want financial pressure. I want to be able to give. And I don't want to be worried every day about what's coming in and how I'm going to rob Peter to pay Paul and get all this stuff done. I'd rather just kind of enjoy life and enjoy my family. So be careful how you look at some of those things. All right, well, this is going well. Number three. How to overcome the trap of materialism. How to overcome the trap of materialism. Zig Ziglar said, if you do the things you need to do when you need to do them, then someday you can do the things you want to do when you want to do them. That's a great thought, isn't it? How do we do it? Letter A, come to see yourself as a steward rather than an owner. The Bible says, moreover is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Materialism is a disease and stewardship is the cure. We are not the owners. We're not even the owners of our own selves, let alone our money and resources. They're a gift from God. Well, I earned them. Who gave you the strength to earn them? Who gave you the air to breathe while you earned them? Who gave you the intelligence with which to do what you do? God did. God is the owner. We're the steward of it. Ron Blue gave a proper attitude towards money. I think you have this. God owns it all. Money is never an end in itself, but it is merely a resource to accomplish other goals and obligations. Spend less than you earn. Do it for a long time, and you will be financially successful. That is so simple, but it is the key. Man, if we just had more money, we would be financially secure. Not so. Not so. Why? Financial security is spending less than you have. Do it consistently well for a long time, and you'll be financially successful. Somebody making $500 a week can be financially successful. Now, they may get a job and they may make more. I believe that a man's work maketh a way for him. Sometimes people say, well, I'm just holding out for that other job. Stop holding out and earn it. A man's work maketh a way for him. When a man works hard, gets early, stays late, puts in the time, productive, his work maketh a way for him. He's blessed by that. And good things happen. But the idea is not always more money. Sometimes we just feel like if we just had more. Sometimes if we just had more, we'd spend more. And we need to learn the disciplines of spending less than we make. And by the way, I know some that maybe, man, I just got a new job and I'm needing that to increase a little bit to kind of meet the needs. I recognize some seasons and things are tighter than others. I get all that. But let's do our best to kind of keep that in check. Letter B, communicate with each other about money. So we need to make sure that we see ourselves as stewards. Then we need to communicate with one another about money. We've spoken about that already as husbands and wives, but communicate. You say, man, we can't talk about money without arguing. Listen, it's going to be a greater argument if you keep not talking about it. You need to talk about it. What's coming in? What's going out? What do we need to get? What do we need to do? Talk about it. And I don't know, every home situation is different, but just communicate about it. And get some help if you need it and such, but make sure you're getting on the same page. Listen to me. Be careful as husbands and wives not to put pressure on one another to get stuff. Okay? I don't know what the stuff is, but make sure that if it's just putting this pressure on, to kind of step back and say, is this really what we want? Now, if there's an end goal and result and you're both kind of working towards it, man, we want to, you know, get a nicer home or drive a safer vehicle or whatever the case, and we got to, you know, do A, B, and C to get there and we're in on it together, great, do it. But just make sure you're communicating and in agreement about it. Letter C, commit to a plan to reduce your debt. The Bible says in Proverbs 22, the rich ruleth over the poor and the borrower is servant to the lender. If you want to get yourself better off financially, quit buying stuff. That's a great little quote. So get a plan. Man, we've got all this debt. Then let's get out of debt, by the way. And let's just get as old school as we can get because nobody's liking it anyway, all right? Listen, if I go out today and I spend $30 taking my family for hamburgers and I owe somebody money, I'm a thief if I'm not caught up on my bill pay because I'm taking their money and doing stuff I really don't need. Amen, Bro Rule. Right? That's truth. And we don't live in a culture that preaches this kind of truth anymore, and I get that. But that's truth. And I shouldn't be taking somebody else's money and doing something with it that's not mine. If I owe Roberto money and I haven't paid him in the frame which we agreed upon, and I go do whatever, some frivolous thing, I'm a thief. I'm not a man of my word. I'm not a man of character. I'm not a man of integrity. Shame on me. If that's what he and I agreed to, I should do it. And if I can't get it done in the time frame that we agreed upon, I should make arrangements with him and communicate, and I should not be doing anything frivolous other than a roof over my family's head and some clothes on their back and some food to eat. And if we got to eat Top Ramen for a while, we'll be fine. That's the way it should be. That's the way America was built, by the way. And it's what we need more of today. All right, well, that's going well. All right, then letter D, create and live on a family budget. Create and live on a family budget. Basically, live within your means. The Bible says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. What are your budget priorities? Number one should be giving, that you're giving to the Lord. The first check I write is my tithe check. Number two, you're saving. Thirdly, your food and shelter and transportation. And fourth, your debt reduction. Well, what about that new phone? Well, it'll get there. Take care of all those other things first, all right? The Bible says in Proverbs 21:20, there is treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man spinneth it up. We're teaching our children some financial things right now. Sometimes they'll say to us, if they're going to go with dad to make a visit or something or go to a store or whatever, oh, dad, hang on, I've got a dollar. I got to go grab it. And we're telling them, listen, just because you have a dollar doesn't mean you have to spend a dollar. The whole idea of having the money is to save it. And it's fun to see them learning those principles and now wanting to get gifts for each other, whatever. Dave Ramsey said, money flows from those who don't manage it to those who do. And we want to be careful we're on the right end of that. Letter E, cultivate a generous heart. Cultivate a generous heart. Give and it shall be given unto you. Greed causes many modern husbands and wives to think they can't give to the extent they should. The very mindset pushes them deeper and deeper into the quicksand of debt, which then becomes a reason for not giving at all. We want to make sure we maintain a generous heart. Now look at me. I recognize today's topic is not one where we're high-fiving, oh, that was great, you know. But listen, the materialism, possessions, plague on America today, it's real. And a lot of marriages and a lot of families, all of us, are touched by it in some way. And I just want to encourage you as you go into the Christmas season and as you continue to strive to strengthen your marriage, step back and say, listen, we're not going to get in this rat race. We're not going to try to keep up with the Joneses. We're not going to try to have the latest and greatest of everything. And if God bless you with some material things, thank God for it, and I mean that. But don't put such a pressure on your relationship and your home where the essence of having family time and enjoying the holidays and all of that is lost to, we got to meet all these expectations. Giving your kids a blank piece of paper and a pen and saying, tell me what I want for Christmas. I mean, seriously. You talk about setting up some unmet expectations. An older couple years ago gave my wife and I an idea. Give them something they want, something they need, something to play with, and something to read. And every year since, our children get 4 gifts on Christmas Day. Something they want, something they need, something to play with, and something to read. And that's what we do. I'm not saying you have to do that, but that was an idea we got from somebody. Listen, my children are blessed. One of the fears that I have is how do I raise my children in this generation to be grateful and to not be entitled and to know what it is to not have everything you want. And I recognize they may get more gifts from grandparents and this, that, and the other. But we've tried to just kind of keep that thing down at a minimum. Why? Because God may call my son Africa. And if he's going to be a missionary for the rest of his life, I want him to know what it is to be content. What it is to, I've got food and raiment, I'm good. And having a budget for that. And my wife is so good, her and I will decide on a Christmas budget, and then she will take that and she can squeeze every little thing out of that thing. I don't know how she does it, but she gets some, you know, guest presents and stocking stuffers and stuff, and she does amazing, and she keeps it in that budget. And we just go into it. There it is. It's set. We had one conversation, done. And now we enjoy it. Here we go. And try to make it run. And I just want to see our families enjoy the holidays. And let's not be plagued by some of these pressures. And let's spend some time communicating and talking. And maybe where some undue pressures come into the home, let's alleviate it. And let's reestablish some priorities and boundaries and such of that nature with finances. And if we can be of help to you in any way. And by the way, I'm not saying we have all the answers. There are some good people in our church with wisdom in this area. But we want to make sure we're getting help so we can get things where they should be in our homes. Because we want marriages that are strong. And if 85 to 90% of the marriages that are calling it quits has something to do with finances, then I think every one of us in this room should perk our ears up and say, hey, we want to make sure financially we're as strong as we can be. Heavenly Father, we sure love you. Thank you for some time together this morning. Thank you for these couples. Lord, I love them and love being around them. Lord, I pray that you'd bless them. And Lord, I pray that you'd financially bless them. I pray that you'd provide for their needs. I pray that you'd bless them abundantly above and beyond that. Lord, I pray that you'd shower blessings on them and give them nice things. And Lord, I know that you desire to load your children with benefits every day. And Lord, we're so thankful for that. And we do have much to be thankful for. But Lord, help us not to get caught in this rat race in our culture today and to have all this pressure and to run up all this credit and do all this stuff. But Lord, give us unity and wisdom and help us to be strong even when it comes to the pocketbook of the family. And we'll sure praise and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.